Hello and welcome. It's Alex Mondosian of Virtual Seminar U. And of course, this is another webcast for Virtual Seminar University brought to you by Sam's Club. You will learn business building tips from the pros faster, better, smarter. You have told us that you want to learn more about marketing and business development. And today, this morning, this evening, depending on when you're listening, we have a business development thought leader. His name is Dave Licani. He is the president of Bold Approach, Inc., and he's widely considered one of the nation's top experts on applied persuasion. Not just persuasion, but applied persuasion, especially for small business owners. He has unique insights into persuasion, and he comes from being raised in environments where persuasion was one of the most important factors, just staying alive. Now, his study of persuasion, human influence, sales, marketing, advertising has spanned over the past 27 years. He has been responsible for developing dynamic strategies, driving record-breaking growth and increases in sales for more than 500 businesses in the past 15 years, especially for small business owners. And if you're a small business owner right now, please lean forward and listen carefully, because Dave is about to divulge how to sell when nobody's buying. These are grassroots marketing and sales techniques, how to sell when nobody's buying. Listen carefully. Dave, welcome to this webcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first step. You have a very important first step to everything that you do in any grassroots selling process. What is that?
It's focus. One of the things that oftentimes is missing in grassroots efforts and in small businesses is the ability to focus clearly. People wear too many hats, they try and do too many things, they stay very busy, but they don't stay very productive. So what I'd like to teach them is a very simple process called the 45-15 Fearsome Focus Process. The 45-15 process works like this. For 45 minutes, you practice what we call fearsome focus. Fearsome focus means no interruptions, no distractions, no conversations, no activities, no email, no cell phones. Know nothing that does not pertain to exactly what you're focused on accomplishing at that moment.
Now, hang on. Is that even possible for a small business owner? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible, but it takes some discipline. You don't start out by doing this 8 hours in a day. You start out by picking one or two times and conditioning your employees, conditioning those people around you that for that 45 minutes you're completely unavailable. That you may not be interrupted. The only interruption that could possibly be allowed is if somebody's dying or the house is burning down. Other than that, you're in the state of intensive focus. That means intensive focus means also having everything that you need in order to accomplish what you're working on in hand ahead of time. So 45 minutes of fearsome focus doesn't mean you get to spend the first 30 minutes getting your stuff together so that you can work for 15. It means that you've got all that together. You're going to launch on your initiative, whether it's marketing, whether it's your accounting, whether it's doing sales, making calls, customer service, whatever it is. For 45 minutes, you're going to do that with ruthless intensity.
Building on your business, not working in your business, working on it, correct?
It's working on your business, but it may be working in your business too. So, for example, if you're a one-person army, if you're a single solopreneur, that you need to make sales calls. You may spend 45 minutes making sales calls using this process. But during that time, the only thing you're going to do is make your outbound sales calls. If somebody calls back, you're not taking the call. You're making your outbound sales calls. And then you'll respond afterwards to everything else. So for 45 minutes, you work with deep and intensive focus. For 15 minutes at the end, that's when you can go back, check your email. That's when you can check your voicemails. That's when you can go to the restroom, whatever it is that you need to do. And those 15 minutes are a chance for your brain to disconnect, take in a little bit of extra stimulus so that you can refocus again. When you condition and train your brain this way, you become very effective. All of the recent neuroscientific research coming out, they've done a lot of PET scans and functional MRI scans of people's brain while they multitask and when they're not multitasking. And what they found is that the amount of time that it takes to reengage on a task when you think that you're multitasking and you're efficient is actually 2 to 3 times the amount of time that people imagine it is for them to reengage, for them to get back into the state of focus and then reengaging.
So they're losing. It takes more energy, doesn't it?
It does. It takes more energy. It takes more time. It takes away from your focus. It doesn't add to it. What happens when people use this 45-15 process is that they see that they become so intensely productive that within a short period of time, they're managing their days using this process. So you're able to accomplish so much in 45 minutes when you don't have these external distractions and interruptions, when you start breaking up your day by parts like this, so that maybe, for example, if you have a lot of email that you have to do, you may do 2 45-minute sessions a day of email and your social media. You may do just one session a day and you may do one in the morning, one at night, or you may break it up however you're going to break it up. But during those 45 minutes, you're going to focus intently. You're not going to let any other distractions come in, and you're going to have a plan previous that you're working during that 45 minutes, and that's all you're going to do.
It could even be paying vendors as well, correct?
You could be paying vendors. You could be doing anything that is that you need to do in order to accomplish whatever it is that you have to in your business. But here's what happens. When you start practicing this, what you realize is it doesn't take as much time as you imagined. One of the last 45-minute focuses that I do, and this isn't really a revelation. I mean, a lot of people have talked about something like this a long time, is at the end of the day, I practice 45 minutes of preparing for my coming day. I get all of the things together that I need. I get all of my calls lined up. I pre-prepare everything that I'm going to need so that I can be as wildly effective and efficient as I can the next day, so that when I walk in and I sit down for my first 45 minutes of focus, I've got everything I need. I'm able to launch directly into my day. When you do that and you start out with a fearsome focus 45 minutes in the morning, you set the tone for your whole day. You also are conditioning your brain and conditioning yourself psychologically to respond to stimulus in a certain way. You're conditioning your brain to move into this state of fearsome focus immediately, and you'll get more and more efficient with it as you go. My challenge to everybody listening to this right now is simply practice fearsome focus 2 hours a day for 10 days and see what happens to your business.
So it's almost like an hour of power, 45 minutes of intensity and productivity, and then 15 minutes of recovery. Is that
15 minutes of recovery, because our brains need that time to recover. When you focus intensely, you need to recover. If you think about it like lifting weights, if you do a certain set of reps, pretty soon you exhaust the muscle, and you need to then set the weight down, allow some recovery time, and then you can pick it up and exhaust the muscle again. The same thing happens when we focus. We focus, and then we release. We allow our brain time to gather new stimulus, to take in new information, and then we refocus. And it's a very, very efficient training process and a very efficient and effective efficiency process that everyone can use. When small business owners implement this, this is the first thing I do when I do turnarounds in companies, when I work with sales teams. This is the very first thing that we do. We have people get focused on this fearsome focus process, and what happens almost immediately is that people end up, and this is the most bizarre sort of thing, they end up with more free time. Because they're accomplishing so much, they end up with more free time.
It's like assembly line theory. And do you use a countdown timer? I know I do.
Yeah.
How do you know the 45 minutes is up?
I like to use a simple countdown timer on, you know, if you're going to use your PC. But my recommendation is if what you're doing doesn't require your PC, that you shut your PC as well. Turn it off, turn it down, turn off your monitor or something like that. So just a simple egg timer works perfectly.
Excellent. Well, let's move into strategy. Mm-hmm. And this is all about marketing and promotion and sales conversation. So when someone is in your storefront, when someone is in front of you across the desk, doesn't matter what business you're in, an independent professional or if you have a retail outlet, there's a certain conversation that can create more business, and there's another conversation that's small talk.
Right.
What's the type of conversation that creates more revenue, the revenue conversation? What does that look like? Because you're an expert at that.
The revenue conversation looks a lot like a story. You're having a conversation. You're telling people a story about what they're thinking about. They're talking to you about their hopes, their dreams, their desires. And I don't care if you're a barber. I don't care if you own a day spa. I don't care if you own an auto repair business or if you own some kind of a distribution service. Whenever somebody comes to you, they're coming to you looking for salvation. They're looking for something that they can say, yes, this is, I believe in it. This is the right thing. I'm at the right place at the right time. This is a person I can believe in. I won't have to think about this again. And so they're telling you what they need. They're telling you the story of their pain. They're telling you the story of their desires. They're telling you the story of what they want. You need to enter that and tell your own story. And to the extent that you can tell a story that people can become involved in, when you talk to them and tell stories in ways that people become engaged, that makes them more desirous. It heightens their emotions, and it makes them more likely to buy. So simple kinds of things that you can say, rather than using features or benefits, which is what a lot of people do, when somebody will say, They're in the store. Let's just say, well, we also have day spas. And so people will come into the day spa. And rather than talking to people about how much another kind of treatment is, maybe they want a deep tissue massage and they want to get a facial. Rather than talk to them about the features and benefits of the facial, we'll talk to them and say, you know, it's very interesting because most people during this time of the summer find that this kind of facial and this kind of massage work best because it has the best long-term benefits. In fact, are you going to be going out in the summer and in the sun at all? Because if you're going out in the sun, you don't want to use these kind of products, and I'll bet you've had this experience before. Now, what you're saying here, when I say, I'll bet you've had this experience before, you're causing them to access parts of their brain where they're having remembered experiences. We're bringing those remembered experiences forward, and then we're just building a bridge to the current experience. I've had this experience before, and either A, I want to have it again, or B, I don't want to have it again. And so either way, we're just telling them a story. We're getting them to engage. So we're using large word pictures. We're getting them actively engaged. The other thing that we're going to do is we're going to ask them more powerful questions. Selling more and profitable conversations are about asking more questions, not telling people more.
All right, now hold on. Now let's say I'm a barber, and I have someone in the barber chair. Or let's say I'm an esthetician, and I have someone on the esthetician table. What kind of conversation are you talking about specifically?
So the conversation I would have is I would simply have a conversation something like, you know, it looks like things have been changing for you. What's been going on with you? How have you been? But what's been going on? What's changed for you lately? And they might say, well, I've just got this new job. I've got this new promotion. Oh, that's wonderful, because I was noticing that, that things have changed. I see that you've maybe upgraded your wardrobe a little, or I see that you've changed your makeup, and you haven't changed your hairstyle recently. And so one of the things that we've noticed is that as people move up in their careers, as people move through these kind of situations, it makes more sense to have something that's more updated and to do things a little more frequently. Because here's what happened. People judge you, because see, now we're positioning ourselves as an expert. People judge you in fractions of a second by how you look. They make decisions if you're trustworthy, if you're reliable. And so when you have a haircut that's gone just a week too long, it begins, you know how your hair looks when it begins to look just a little bit shabby? You know, you let it go just a little bit too long. You, gosh, I should have got that clip last week, but I didn't
You don't have that problem, but I do.
Right, exactly, yeah. All I have to do is use the razor every morning, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
But the idea here is that when they're having that conversation and they say, yeah, that has happened to me, I remember that, you know, it does look a little shabby. Well, here's the thing. We have a process where we'll just remind you, because, you don't have time to think about a haircut, and by the time you do, it's too late. So why don't we just do this? Let's just put you into this program. We'll put you in a program. You come in every 3 weeks for a haircut. We're going to automatically call you a week before, and then we're going to call you the night before to remind you of your haircut appointment. We'll schedule it right now. You're going to have a haircut every third Thursday at the same time. You just come in. We're going to automatically bill your credit card. You don't even have to think about it again, but you're always going to look perfect. And if you know anybody else who wants to have that kind of service, who wants to have perfect hair every time, who wants to have perfect makeup, perfect skin, whatever, just have them call me. Tell them they're a friend. Tell me that they're a friend of yours, and I'll make sure we get them on the same kind of program too. Now, I can't do this for everyone, because if we did it for everyone, you know, pretty soon we wouldn't have any time for the people who need to walk in and get haircuts, and you know, we have to do that sometimes, which is why you have to wait. And I know that waiting isn't convenient for you. That's why scheduled appointments make so much more sense. So if we do that, we've now got them on a 12-month program to buy haircuts every 3 weeks. When before, they might have only bought them every 4 or 5 weeks. So not only have we got them on a consistent program, we've also increased the frequency at the same time, ultimately increasing the value of the sale just by changing the conversation slightly.
Yeah, one of the things that was astounding to me when I went to a dentist in Manhattan when I lived there was the office manager had me write my address, my name, on a postcard to remind me to come back for a cleaning every 3 months.
Right.
And so I would actually write it in my own writing, and then she would send it out a week before my cleaning, and I would see it in my own writing, and I almost felt compelled to go,
right.
And I couldn't refuse or cancel the appointment because it was in my own writing.
Right.
And
you made the commitment, right?
I made the commitment. I remember when I wrote that. So that's almost a silent conversation that's grassroots, isn't it?
It's a very silent conversation, and it's also a deep psychological persuader, because it reminds us most people want to honor their commitments, and it's a deep reminder of our commitments. Now, there are many other technology tools you can use to do virtually the same thing. You know, there's voice autoresponders. People just need to call up and leave their email address and their name, and then you can then send them scheduled voicemails. So you have them do that, and then they get voicemail on their cell phone just before their appointment every time. And you record it once, and then you don't ever have to do it again. And so when you use technologies like that, that's what you have to think about around these conversations. It's not just having the conversation, but how do I continue the conversation when you're not there? Because the extent to which you continue the conversation and keep the touches going is the extent to which the conversation stays alive and people are likely to take the action that you want.
Before we dive into strategic alliances within the commercial area with which you work, 1 mile, 1 block, 10 miles, depending on what your commercial area is, typically it would be within 1 to 5 miles of your location. Would you agree that it's a good way to begin a sales conversation by just understanding what the 5 most frequently asked questions are that people would normally ask someone, whether it were a dentist, a CPA, a beautician, or whatever other trade there is, and a small business owner? Just the most frequently asked questions, if you know the answers, isn't that a step ahead than anyone else?
Absolutely. So surveying your customers, understanding what it is that they need, understanding what it is that they have questions about, where their fears and concerns are, so you can preemptively address those, again, a very powerful persuasive tool. You seem almost psychic in your ability to predict what it is that they're feeling and what they're thinking. And what that gives them is a deep sense of comfort, making them feel like, I'm in the right place. This person really understands me. We have a connection. They're listening to me. They know what I want. And so when you know those things preemptively and you tie those into the stories that you're telling, when you tie them into the stories that you're telling in person, when you tie them into the stories that you're telling online, when you tie them into the stories that you're telling in the media, in your advertising, in your marketing, those stories resonate with people who have the feelings, the fears, the concerns, the desires that you're able to help them with. And that makes them much more likely to then take that information and do something with it. But here's the other thing that it does. When you create that deep emotional experience with people and you use powerful stories that are very concise and to the point, very clear points, what happens is it gives people an opportunity to repeat what it is that you want them to repeat, the story that you want them to tell about you, not the stories that they make up in their head if we don't take some control of the conversation.
If they say it, it's true. If we say it, they may doubt us. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. But when we say it in a way that it becomes their idea, by using the information you're talking about, by preemptively gathering the information, by asking questions, it becomes their idea. It seems like their idea because they agree with you so deeply.
As you're listening right now, you probably came through virtualseminaru.com. Feel free to recommend and refer that page to a friend or a colleague. It's where you learn business building from the pros. Dave Licani, who we're on with right now for this webcast, is a pro. And you'll learn how to build your business faster, better, and smarter. You voted, and hundreds, actually tens of thousands, have voted for the most important topic. And the number one vote has been under the marketing and business development topic. And the reason that has been the number one vote, my sense is because the current condition of the economy and generating more income. And one of the most leveraged ways to generate more income is through strategic alliances. It's our next topic. People around the block of our storefront, whether we're an independent professional, service professional, or retail storefront, or people within a 10-mile radius, or relatives, or friends, there are alliances that we can create to bring traffic in. Dave, give some tips, strategies, secrets that you've utilized with small business owners on how to generate more leads from strategic alliances that just fell on people's lap.
One of the most powerful things you can do is look at your current vendors and current people that you're selling to or who are selling to you and find the people who are non-competitive, people who are calling on the same clients that you would like to have, people who are focused on the businesses that you would like to be in, but they're not selling a competitive service, but it may be a very complementary service. Go to those people and talk to them and simply say, I have this series of clients who I think would be a tremendous fit for you. I think that if I introduced you to these people, you would get this kind of business from them because they're currently buying these products and services. I have a great deal of credibility with them. I have a great deal of exposure to them, and I would like to introduce them to you. I also believe that you have 5 clients just like these that you could introduce me to. Would you be willing to introduce me to your 5 clients if I'll introduce you to my 5? That simple exchange of a lead, of a customer, of a buyer, in a non-competitive situation is one of the fastest ways to grow your business.
And it's fascinating because it doesn't even have to be 5. It could be 3, it could be 1, it could be 4. But the fact that you're asking the question has impact.
Right. And that you're preemptively taking the step of saying, I have this person for you. I was thinking of you, and I'd like to give this person to you. And even if you don't have one person for me, even if you don't, I'll still give this person to you because I think it's the most important thing I can do. And they'll go out and find the other person for you if they don't have it. But if you pick the right people, they're going to have clients that they can introduce you to immediately. So that's one level of conversations. The other level of conversations is the conversation you have with your existing clients. It's very expensive to get new clients. In day spa, for example, it costs a lot of money to get someone to come in and spend $50 to $100, particularly in an economy like this, on something that's considered oftentimes a non-essential sort of treatment, a massage, a facial, those kind of things you don't have to get. But if we have those people in there and we give them a gift that they can give to one of their friends, maybe it's a small gift bag that has a little personal use massage cream, a lip balm, and maybe some essential oils that they can use to calm and relax themselves, and a gift certificate that's good for $10 off of their next treatment.
An experience of some kind.
An experience, right. And then just say, listen, here's one for you, and here's, I want you to give this to one of your dearest, closest friends, somebody who's stressed and overworked right now. Now you're creating an alliance with your clients who are eager to give this thing away because they got theirs, so they're not going to keep it. And then they're going to give this other one away with their endorsement. That kind of endorsement, that third-party endorsement, is one of the most powerful kinds of conversations that you can have. When somebody, you know, if I tell you something's good, Alex, of mine, that's just me saying it. But if someone else gives you something, if someone gives you one of my books or they do something like that and they say, this is the best thing that I've ever read, it's going to help you so much, I now have more credibility because this person who they trust, love, and care about thought of them in that way. And I have a very special emotional attachment with that person because there's the whole experience of receiving a gift of this person or of this thing that's related back to the brand or the product or the company. So simply leveraging those two kinds of associations can increase your business nearly immediately. And it works with every kind of business. All the businesses I've worked with, we've done this. It works virtually every time. I don't care if you're a chiropractor. I don't care if you're a physician. I don't care if you own a day spa or, you know, if you're a veterinarian, a horseshoer. It doesn't matter.
You have to pick up the phone and start creating a relationship.
But you don't even, you know, oftentimes you don't even have to pick up the phone. This is how simple it is, Alex. A lot of times those people are calling on you already. They're the people that you already know, and they're in your business every day.
So it's a by-the-way conversation.
A by-the-way conversation. I was thinking of you.
Yeah.
I have this person. I'd like to give them to you because I think that you can serve them well. I'm wondering if you have someone like that that would be a good fit for me.
I remember when I was living in Manhattan, there was a laundromat and a dry cleaner, and they were really compatible with each other. They didn't really compete with each other, and they started exchanging postcards. They had on the counter, by special arrangement, you can get the first, you know, $50 free at this dry cleaner. Mm-hmm. And if the dry cleaner gets you in the storefront, even if it's $50 worth of dry cleaning, they're going to get you for the year, which is, you know, $1,200 to $1,500 in Manhattan. So they know their annual value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found that this worked, so they went to other vendors in the area. It was a clothing store. There was an ice cream shop, and it really didn't matter the category of business. It was just within walking distance, and because it looked like a gift, and it was a gift from that storefront, people were walking in to that dry cleaner. Does that sort of thing still work?
It works very, very well. We're doing that very thing right now with one of our clients who is a fast food restaurant. They have four locations, and they're exchanging with a car wash company. This is right down the street from their locations is a car wash. It's a drive-through car wash, automated car wash. But it has attendants who take your money and that kind of thing in the beginning. But the real trick with this is to treat these things as a gift. Don't just treat them as a throwaway. Just stick it in the bag or, you know, give it to somebody as a second thought. You give them this valuable gift and you say, listen, I think this would be great for you. Did you drive here today? You did? Let me give you this coupon that's good for 25% off your next wash, or it's good for an upgrade to the next level of wash when you go down the street to this car wash. Then they get there, and they get a coupon that's good for a free drink with their next burrito purchase or something like that. And it's given, again, it's given as a gift. It's given just saying thank you so much. And if you give the gift while you're saying thank you so much, I value and appreciate your time here, let me give you this thing. You're initiating the law of reciprocation. The law of reciprocation says people who receive something at a highly emotional state when they are most likely to be influenced by it feel much more compelled to give you something in return. And the simplest way that you see this play out every day, if I say to you, Alex, great tie, you've got to look at me and say something back. We're so compelled that we feel like if somebody gives us a compliment, we have to give something back.
As long as it's authentic. Right?
As long as it's authentic. Right now, if you just go around trying to buy people's favors, That's something totally different.
But when you give people, that'll take you a tailspin downward, right?
Right. It absolutely doesn't work. It works in exactly the opposite direction. But when you give something as a genuine gift, and this is why we make them put the coupons behind the counter. Oh, hold on a second. I want to give this to you.
Yeah.
That specific languaging, listen to what I just said because this will be really important for you. Oh, hold on. Let me give this to you. You reach under the counter, you pull it out, and then you hand it to them.
You know, what's amazing is Dr. Bob Cialdini, whom you've heard of and you know, he's a dear friend of mine. A simple study, a simple authentic study where two mints are given to two people in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who's waiting the table is about to leave, turns around and says, you know what? You guys were great, and they give two more men.
Mm-hmm.
The tips go up. They increase right. as a result of that turnaround because there's almost this personal forthright giving approach to that. And it's authentic. I mean, they only do it if they really, really meant it. But if they give four mints all at once, they don't have the same impact.
No.
So that personal touch makes a big difference. As long as it's authentic, make it your advantage. It's a sales conversation. It's an alliance, and it has huge impact. Even though it's a very subtle nuance, it does have huge impact. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree with that.
Well, we've talked about sales conversations, we've talked about alliances, we've talked about fearsome focus, which was the first thing, Twitter and Yelp. Let's talk about those two tools. Social media, usually it's a worldwide approach, but how does it work with the local business, social media, social networking?
What's so neat about this is that Twitter and many of the other social media sites have allowed people to band together in groups online and then move those things offline as well. So you can find people's categories of interest, you can do great deals of research, you can create lists, you can do all of those things simply by doing research on Twitter. So here's what I want everybody to do. If you're listening right now, write this down. Go to search.twitter.com. You'll see a search box there, and then you'll see a little line that says Advanced Search. Click on the Advanced Search button. It's going to open up a new window. You're going to type in the pain points, the concern ideas, or whatever your product or service is, you're going to type that into the search. And you may need to do four or five different searches with different terms to get all this information because you'll want to try different angles. You're going to then choose a radius, 50 miles, within 50 miles of your business or 10 miles of your business or 100 miles, whatever your area is that you serve. Then you're simply going to click Submit. What's going to come back is a list of the current conversations of people within 50 miles of your business who are talking about having the pain that you're talking about, that are talking about needing a product or service like you have, having just bought a product or service that you might be able to upsell, and you now have an opportunity to enter that conversation online with people who are actively talking about this. Now, the idea then is not to leap into the conversation and start beating them down and telling them you've got to get down here on Sunday to buy this thing. The idea is simply to open the conversation and say, I see you're having a challenge with your bicycle. You were not able to get, you have goat heads where you drive your bike and you keep getting punctures in your tire and the tires go flat. This is what we do. We fix bicycle tires. We fix bikes. We sell bikes. The best product on the market today is called Slime. You put slime in your tires. You pump them back up. They'll never go flat again from goat head punctures or anything else. And so you can get it anywhere. But if I can answer any other questions that will be useful or helpful to you, I'd love to. We're just thrilled to see people riding bikes. Where do you like to ride your bike best? Now we've got this conversation going. What is the likelihood that that person is going to feel like, wow, that's something that I want to know about? They get to know about the business. All you're doing is proactively opening the door so that you can start the conversation, make people aware of the business, and be considered and seen as an expert resource. And once you're that way, that's when you begin building the top-of-mind awareness. You begin building a following of people, you know, a following of people who always remember you and think about you in a certain category.
So let's talk about Twitter as a tool and Yelp as a tool, which many people aren't aware of. So Twitter is a microblog that's public.
It really started out as a microblog, but what it's come down to now is an ongoing conversation of people who are signing on, and they're talking about what they're doing. They're talking about what their thoughts, concerns, and feelings are on a regular basis. Right now there's around, I believe that the numbers are around 14 million people on Twitter, something close to that, and the conversations are happening in real time. People are having these real-time conversations that are being categorized and put on websites. There's a great deal of SEO value in Twitter, and search engine optimization value, but really where the value is having conversations with people that you normally wouldn't reach out to, people who normally might not come into your stores, people who might normally not know about your business, being able to have a conversation, be a thought leader, and demonstrate it to them. It's as simple as going to twitter.com, signing up for an account, and then you have 140 characters per post to be able to say whatever it is that you want to say.
Even at a local level, you think this works?
We do it all the time. The fast food company that I was talking about right now, we created a small scavenger hunt for them recently, run all on Twitter for people to find free burritos around town. And so when they found the places, and we used a combination of photos so they could see sort of the general area and then just written conversation and directions about where it might be, people would go there, they would find this place, and then there would be a gift certificate for them for a free burrito or a free dinner or a free lunch. And what happened is not only did it work, not only did people go there and start looking at it and saying, yes, you know, I want to I want the free burrito, but then they start talking about it too. That became the topic of their conversation. And when that becomes the topic of their conversation, they talk about what they're doing, they talk about what they found, they talk about where they're going for lunch, suddenly we become a very visible choice, and it works very, very well. We've done it with the dozens of different companies, as well as with the spas, with car washes. All kinds of local businesses use this. Even chiropractors, dentists and doctors are using it now. I just taught a bunch of doctors and a bunch of chiropractors exactly how to do this. They don't do it themselves, but they have their staff do it. But imagine what happens if you're a person who just was out playing baseball and you get hit in the mouth with a baseball. And you just you put it up on Twitter that, man, I just get hit in the mouth with a baseball. It hurts so bad. And you're a dentist's assistant or you're somebody working in the office and you see that. And you send them just a quick note saying, hey, Dr. Bob saw that you just got hit in the mouth with a baseball. He wanted you to know that you should do these three things. If you don't have a dentist, you should be checked out about this or that. Just concerned, it doesn't matter where you go. We're not asking you to come here. We're just saying, please take care of your health this way because you can have root canal problems. You can have nerve problems in your teeth and things like that from that kind of a blow. Most people don't know that. So we just wanted you to know. And let us know if there's any questions we can answer for you, make a referral, or if we can help you in any way. That's simple, and you've now done that. You can also give away free toothbrushes. Need a free toothbrush for your son or daughter? Have they changed their toothbrush in the last 30 days? Because children should change their toothbrushes more often. Come down to our office. We have free toothbrushes for children.
What about Yelp? What is Yelp all about?
Yelp is simply, it's a place for people to rate the businesses in their community. If you go to Yelp.com, Yelp.com, you'll see that in your community and maybe even your business has already been reviewed by someone. They talk about what their experience was like. They talk about what the value of the service or the product or whatever it was that they purchased from you was compared to what they got. They talk about customer service. They talk about convenience. They talk about hours. They talk about all the kinds of things that matter. And so what you need to do is make sure that people are positively reviewing you on Yelp. You should have employees talk about you on Yelp. You should have your customers talk about you on Yelp. But you should be actively monitoring Yelp so that you can monitor those conversations and engage in the conversation when you need to. Yelp is a very powerful tool in the sense that it allows you simply to be in control of a place where people are talking about you on a regular basis, where they're reviewing you, where they're commenting on you, and being a part of that conversation and moving it forward in a way that best suits you. Yelp is a very powerful tool, and it's something you have to know about. Now, what may happen to many people on this call is they may go to Yelp and find out that their business isn't there, which means that you're not getting the value of that traffic that's happening every day as people search Yelp for businesses and business categories. It's the tool that I use now when I go to any town. I travel 180 days a year. Any town that I go to, if I don't want to go to a chain restaurant or something, I simply go to Yelp. And I find out who are the small local restaurants near the area that I'm at that are highly rated by the people who have great service, a unique atmosphere, good food, and that's where I go. If your business isn't listed in Yelp, you need to make sure that it is right away. Just go in, sign up for an account, it's free, and list your business, and then get people to review it. Because you'll get a tremendous amount of traffic, not just to your website, but to your business. When people look it up and they say, yeah, that's great, in that category, that's where I'm going to go.
Well, David, thank you so much for this, not only interview, but this insightful profile of how a small business owner can have a fearsome focus, sales conversations, strategic alliances, and how to make social media, which is available to the world, work for their local business. You have the final word. Go for it. How to sell when nobody's buying. Grassroots strategies. What do you say?
What I'd like to say to everyone is make sure that you sit down today, make a list of five things that you can do right now from this conversation, five things that you can use, five things that you can implement, and implement them right away. Set up a time to implement them and then begin implementing them. I want to leave you with one big idea, and this will apply to every teleseminar you listen here. Implementation is everything, and money follows action. Implement, take action, and you'll get the results that you want.
You got to do something to create value. There's no question about that. This is Alex Mondosian on behalf of Virtual Seminar U and Sam's Club. You've been listening to Dave Licani. Please give us your comments. Give us your questions. And I hope our paths cross again on the next Tuesday tip or next Tuesday webcast.